This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. And this half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I went with Ford. Great pre-owned inventory. They go over each and every one with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, so important it eases the buying experience. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It's always a great time to talk with Mark Wogenrich. Mark, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Don't have him quite yet, Steve.
What are you doing in there?
I don't know.
What's going on? What are you doing? Is this when the suit fouled up? I'm telling you, the suit fouled it up. We'll get Mark in a moment. Okay, we'll do that. I'm just giving Todd a hard time, just to give him a hard time. Feel like I'm ruining the... Every time I would say something was irrelevant, I always felt like I was ruining Kevin's experience of sports. I wonder if Kevin's already written the open for the opening game of the season. He pours through that open. I wonder if he's already... I wonder if he's out there. Pouring through on the typewriter right now. Trying to get us to get juiced up for the game. What do you think? I vote yes. Just thought I'd bring it up. Just say. We'll talk to Mark about what we know about the, at least what his opinion happens to be of the Nittany Lions the upcoming season. So there you go. Yeah, we can do that. Look, this is an important time for Penn State this particular week. And the reason why I bring up this particular week is they are not in class this week. So it's football and football only this week. That's it. Football, football only this week. And because of that, I think that's one that that makes it a an interesting week. How about that? Makes it a very interesting week. Because I think this is the week where you can get where jobs now, it's not just jobs winning. To me, it's your winning playing time. There's a big difference between winning the job and winning playing time. That's what I'm looking at here. Who has the opportunity to win playing time? To me, that is a job. Now, there'll be starters. I mean, there'll be starters. You know, Devon J. Thomas is going to start. You know, Tony Rojas is going to start. Kevin Winston's going to start. But they're not going to play every play all the way through. They're not. And that's something where that in today's game, to me, it's all about who is in that group that's playing and not just starting. Yeah, there's a reason you're starting. You're better, or maybe there's a package they want to start with, right? But it's, you know, when somebody asked me the other day on the show, they asked me about I think they were asking about the Ohio State game. I think that's what it was. So it was the Ohio State game. And I remember exactly the answer I gave. I said, look, I said, as a fan, I can completely understand why you want to talk about the Ohio State game. I said, completely understand why you want to talk about Ohio State.
Hey, Steve, I finally have Mark.
Yeah. Okay, good. I said, but I've got to go into this with a different approach than you do. I said, because I've got to go in there with the idea of who's the seventh receiver, who is the fourth and maybe the fifth safety, who is the, you know, the sixth or seventh corner, who is the fifth linebacker, who's the fifth defensive end. I said, I'm looking at it from that point of view because it's such a long season that when you get to a long season like this, you're going to need those guys. You need them. All right. Let's get Mark in here. Hello, Mark. It's always a pleasure. Great to always have you on the other end to speak with. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate it too, Steve. Thanks so much. And never let it be said that a landline can't come in handy.
Perfect. Landlines are actually rather crisp and clear. Stunning,
good.
As it may seem. Okay, no class this week. The commencement was Saturday. Classes don't begin here until the 26th that weekend. So in your mind and your experience, how important are the next 10 days to really form what this team is to start the season?
Yeah, you would think that it would be pretty critical because this would be, I guess, your really big development time when you get when you don't have the distraction would be the wrong word, but the having to, you know, class and practice at the same time, obviously. And this is that last stretch where probably you're going to scrimmage, you're going to get the real, really delineating starters from two deeps, from the third guy and the fourth guy in a 17 game season. That makes it important before you get into West Virginia. So I think this is probably, this is a real crucial stretch for them. I would guess more from the who are our best, not just best 22 players, but then our best players beside them to develop the depth we need to play, you know, potentially a very long season.
Yeah. And absolutely. So what would be something that if you were standing there on an everyday basis, you'd be looking for at this stage of training camp? You know, what, you know, positionally, what would you be looking at?
I'm sure you've heard a billion times over wide receivers in certain spots on the offensive line and the rotation at quarterback or cornerback, things like that. Mm-hmm. I would want to see Drew and how he is assessing or how is he's kind of flourishing in the role of being a second year starter in a first year offense. That was something that I think really got maybe was kind of underscored or wasn't really like a big primary thing with Sean Clifford, and that he had to go through these offensive changes a couple of times, and each time you're starting over, and it can be very difficult. And now for Drew starting over, how is he handling that? How is he handling being more of an alpha player on their offense, not being the first year starter anymore, but having to be more of a primary voice? How is he handling the changes that Andy Kotelnicki is making to the offense? How is he handling guiding his receivers through this, his tight ends through this, a new center with Nick Dawkins, basically, you know, 3 to 4 new starters on that offensive line? I want to see where he is because I just think he's the most important player on the team this year, in my view. And you know, just you know, having been able to speak with him a couple of times since spring, you get a sense he's coming out of what was more of a, you know, a quieter role, that he is learning to be a bigger voice, a bigger presence on that offense. And one of the interesting things he said at media day was that he really wants to feel comfortable with every play that Andy Kotelnicki is calling. So if he's not comfortable with them, he's been able to question those. And I found that really interesting because I'm wondering how much he would have done that as a first-year starting quarterback.
Well, exactly, because, look, he's now going into his second year as a starter. What do you think it means, Mark, that he essentially has seen every kind of pace that a defense can throw at you, because he saw some good teams last year? What do you think that means to his ability to allow the game to slow down for him, thus the ability to question a play?
Yeah, that I think he's always had that processing ability. I remember last year I talked to Brad Mandler, his quarterback's coach in Ohio, and he talked a lot about how Drew processes information on the field really quickly, how his eyes move from place to place really smoothly, and that he sees a lot of things, and that he's able to really make quick decisions. He's been able to do that since high school. He, you know, he ran a quick-paced offense in high school in which he threw a lot. Obviously, that's not, you know, what we're talking about here. But I think there are elements of that. And then going in last year and seeing all the different kinds of defenses that he saw, you know, of course that's going to just better equip him when it comes time to huddle, when it comes time to go fast, when it comes time to convey a signal to his players. You know, having that processing information, it would be different, you know, because he's going to have the earpiece this year. And as a first-year quarterback, you wonder how overwhelming that would be, and to have to be able to process a ton of that stuff too, and get that information out. I think he's better equipped to do that. And I think he's obviously working a lot with Andy Kotelnicki, but I really would be really curious to see how much, as a kind of a backstop or as maybe a secondary source of information, Tom Allen has been, because Tom Allen had the game plan for him last year, and he could go to Tom Allen and vice versa and say, how did you attack me? And Tom could say, we did this. This is the weaknesses that we thought you had, and this is the way we tried to attack you. And I think that's really beneficial too, that he's kind of got two coordinators who he can get a lot of information from. And he just really seems like a quarterback who really absorbs information and just demands more and more of it.
In the conversations you've had with him, did the subject of Bo Prabula come up? And if so, what did he say?
Oh, he can't praise Bo highly enough, and I think we try to frame, not them, not Penn State, but maybe outside, the framing is of Bo as the secondary quarterback, as the change-up quarterback, rightly or wrongly. And I think Penn State maybe views him as being able to bring some, bring a different dynamic, because he simply does that. I remember, Drew talked a couple of years ago about learning from Bo in workouts, in like off-season training. And that's one of the things their strength coach, Chuck Losey, had said that Bo was just so far ahead of Drew when they both got there in terms of workouts that he just trained more. I mean, Drew's the quarterback who threw the ball a lot. Bo is the athlete who worked out a lot, and I think they got things from each other about that. But that was one of the things Drew, I think, really tried to absorb from Bo, was the training component. And it sounded like that was one of the really core things that he worked on this year. Chuck Losey had mentioned really working on Drew's movement. I think agility and that step ability that Bo just kind of has naturally, that Bo can, like, that change of direction, that sort of thing. I think Eddie Konolnicki said, thought he was, that Bo was in the top 1% in the country among quarterbacks with that change of direction ability. That's the kind of stuff that I think Drew was trying to work on to be able to run some of the things that he's going to need to run with Andy. So having Bo there to train with and seeing how Bo trains with that, I think has been really helpful with him.
Oh, no, and I went to some of the winter workouts the last couple of years. Bo is special when it comes to that. There's no question about it. You're talking about the offensive line. I know on media day a lot of people did want to talk to Nick Dawkins. And, of course, Nick has an incredible story. There's a lot from his father, Darryl Dawkins, that, when I've talked to him about it, he's been very open about talking about how important his dad was to him. Now, his mom's his world. I mean, let's not...
Janice is a wonderful, wonderful... I live in their area, was with Nick.
Isn't she the greatest?
I did a story in high school on Nick when he was at Parkland High School. His mom finally let him get a tattoo. He turned 18. His mom said, you can get a tattoo. And the first tattoo was he got of his father's jersey number. So I actually was at the tattoo place where he got it. I was sitting there with his mom, talking to his mom and Nick as he's getting this tattoo. And he was a phenomenal personality. Even then, his mom is general manager of a really good restaurant. Just to plug a restaurant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania called Edge. She works there. Phenomenal
Edge?
Place. Highly recommended. If
Edge?
You're coming to the area.
Oh no, count me in.
Yeah.
I can work that. I can work that Edge in Bethlehem.
Yep.
You got it. All right.
And I would recommend if you see Janice, have her make some desserts for you too. So.
This segment's working out way better than I thought it would. give me a couple of other guys that to you as a reporter are great personalities where you relish the time you spend with them and help you, and because of how they are, they help craft a story for you.
Yeah. On this team, it's been... I haven't spent a lot of time with Julian Fleming yet, but he seems like he can be that person. He has he's got such experience, such calluses through college football, and he's got a wisdom about the game.
Yeah.
And he really is able to, he's really able to explain that well and share that well. I talked to him, a little bit at Media Day, and you really get a sense of he feels at peace and at peace with where he is, in a place where he thinks he can thrive and kind of really have the year in college football that he hasn't had yet. Another guy, I'm sure everybody will say this, but Devon J. Thomas, formerly Devon Elise, he is one of those personalities who you just cannot help but smile when you're talking to him at the Peach Bowl. I had like a horrible case of... like laryngitis. I could barely talk.
I remember.
So, and I was like, I can't. It's so hard to ask questions because I'm and in a whisper voice. And he just sat there and he handed me a bottle of water. He's like, "Now take your time. Take your time. It's all good." He's another one. I mean, he's just another player who gets it. Who really gets the the player media relationship part of it, yeah, and enjoys it, has fun with it. You know, it's not adversarial to him. It's not a chore to him. I mean, yeah, and that I really enjoy that about him. Drew's really interesting. Drew is, you know, is much better than he was, as every player is after their first or second year.
Sure.
He just, you know, the way he talks about football is he has this, if you get him into that, if you get him into the, you know, talking about film or play breakdowns or something like that, he has the capacity to I think explain things in a pretty, you know, in a pretty simple way that I always find to be a good sign that somebody understands what they're talking about. That's one of the things, just as a throwback, that's one of the things that really, really impressed me about Micah Shrewsbury. Like, mm-hmm, Micah Shrewsbury, when he was at Penn State, could simplify the game to the point that an idiot like me could understand it. So I thought, if he can do that, what can he do with the players when he's talking at, you know, at a high level? And, you know, Mike Rhodes has that too, but I really noticed that about Micah when he's there. And I get a little bit of that with Drew as well.
When you get that stuff, it makes the job fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they almost, I mean, in a lot of ways, they almost write it for you. Which I think is terrific. I mean, some guys it takes a little bit more to bring out. I would say, like, for example, I think he's going to have a terrific season, but I think it takes a little bit more to bring Tony Rojas out, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys,
yeah,
like
Kobe
that.
King's very good. Kobe King and,
yeah,
you know, Kobe
Kobe's
and Kalen
great.
Together are, yeah, really good. It's going to be, I think Kobe's going to be an interesting player this season without his brother, you know, kind of to play alongside and have that, you know, person next to him like that, just who has never been there. I find that an interesting dynamic. And one player who I would love, you know, I'd love to get a little more time around, you know, Nicholas Singleton is just not a talker at all, but he can,
yeah,
be pretty introspective, and he can be pretty interesting when it comes to working out, when it comes to, you know, training, and when it comes to his vision of himself in football. He just has – Nick has this really clear vision of where he wants to go, and he doesn't seem like he has time for a lot of the periphery. And mm-hmm, in it, he has this focus that, to me, he doesn't have to say a lot to demonstrate it, and that's one of the players I'm really looking forward to see what he can do this year because of the way he expresses his desire to have a head-turning season.
Mark, always a pleasure. The landline sounded great.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Mark Walgenrich joining us on the show today. We'll come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Mm-hmm.
an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So here we are on a Monday. Now, you think that tomorrow that Matt will have very little to complain about?
When you say it like that, it does seem strange, doesn't it? So maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think you're on this one at all. Nice. I mean, the Yankees are playing okay. Not awesome and incredible. They were playing awesome and incredible for 2 weeks, but now they're back to playing okay. Labor Torres, they had to sit him down because he wasn't hustling. I mean, Matt won't be able to tolerate that for a moment.
Yeah, but that was right after he. Well, yeah, I was gonna say he should be calmed down about that by now, but
yeah, I mean,
man, I'm not even an Yankees fan, and I was upset by that one.
But this happens all the time in baseball. That's one of the things that does bother me. Right? You know, remember they did the promotion, Let the Kids Play? I have no problem at all with a guy bat flipping. I have no problem at all when they hit it 500 feet that they watch it. None. It's when they stand there and the reality is you're not really sure. And all of a sudden, oh, it's not a home run and it ends up being a single. When if you just sprint out of the box, it's a double. See that part I don't like. I don't like that at all. I don't like missing the cutoff, man. I don't like the fact that when I'm watching baseball today, I have an issue with the number of fundamentals that are missed because somebody's trying to make the big play. I'm going to take one and fire this thing to the plate. The whole world's going to go, wow, what an arm. And the guy's safe by about 10 feet. Meanwhile, the other guy took second on the play. If you just hit the cutoff, man, you'd have held the runner at first. I've always been a major proponent of take care of the little things, and the big things take care of themselves. I've always been a major proponent of that. Take care of the little things, and the big things take care of themselves. And I feel like there are certain baseball players where it's glorified to do what looks like the big thing or the big, you know, show moment. And guess what? The show moment's not there. It didn't happen. Oh, I hate when that happens. See, that's the part I don't like. I can know, take care of the little things. If you hit an absolute bomb, I think the longest home run I ever saw anybody hit. Well, the two longest home runs I ever saw in person were Mark McGwire during his 70 home run season and Jim Rice. I saw McGuire hit one 477 feet to the upper deck at Three Rivers Stadium. It was his 52nd homer of the year. And I was sitting in like row two behind the dugout. And the other one was Jim Rice. There's a flagpole that's at the end of the monster where the center field bleachers begin. And when I was there the day, it was only the fifth time in the history of the ballpark anybody hit it to the right of that flagpole and out. Right? But neither one of them stood there and admired. They started running, and it was absolute no doubt. Like, oh, you do that, you should admire it. I mean, you should admire that if you do that. I have no problem with that. It's the one where you're not quite sure. It's like, I think it's got a chance. Like, sprint out of the box, then celebrate when you get to second base, okay? I'm seeing too many guys get singles on plays like that.
It doesn't happen as often as much as it used to, but I used to like to watch when people thought they got it up over the monster at Fenway, and then it would ping off the top, and they were barely to first base.
Oh, well, something happened in the Red Sox game yesterday. That I think is worthy of bringing up in a general baseball sense. As you know, I am a person that does not like at all the idea of it's a bullpen day. Call up a guy from the minor leagues and let him start. Like, come on. Okay. Well, the Red Sox on Saturday had a bullpen day. Okay. Well, they got the yesterday's game. They got two outs into the game. Jordan Alvarez got a base. Let's see, did he? Was it him? May not have been Alvarez. No, it was Alvarez. It was a play at first base. James Paxton had to go over and cover it. He got hurt. Well, guess what? The Red Sox didn't have guys available in the bullpen that could pitch the longer innings because they used them all on Saturday. Whoops. That's why I'm not in favor of bullpen days. Oh, yeah, this is great. Until, like, suddenly, like, that happens, you're looking around like, now what do we do? Because you're two-thirds of the inning into the game. There's still another 8 1/3 to get through. And if you saw the final score, they didn't get through it.
I was going to say Dom Smith got a pitching appearance, didn't he?
Needed to.
I was going to say when the Phillies were struggling out of the All-Star break, that's when you knew the Phillies were really struggling because I think Garrett Stubbs had 3 pitching appearances in 10 games.
And had the best ERA. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right, final half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. So back to work today for the Penn State football team. Had an off day yesterday after the scrimmage on Saturday. But one just a local note for everybody, you're wondering, I thought a guy that had a very good day on Saturday was Julian Fleming. Okay? So I'll just throw that out there for you. I thought on Saturday Julian Fleming had a good day.
Listening to Mark talk about him, I am really excited for him this season just because, you know, he's been like that since probably his sophomore year, been the center of attention, and I kind of feel like he's kind of like LeBron James, you know, where you've been in the spotlight so long since you've been like 14, 15, 16 years old, and just to still be a good person and not let that get to you after 5 or 6 years is still really impressive to me.
Yeah, no, he's has a great approach to it. Just a great approach. And can't say that, you know, as a guy, I can't say enough good things about him. And as I said on Saturday, I thought, you know, if you're marking down what he's doing and the progress he's making, Saturday was a very good day for him. So, yeah. Now, got to follow it up with guess what? You got to follow it up with a game today or with a good day today. You know, that's the next part. You have to start stacking days. It's all about stacking days. And now you're at that point, as I mentioned before, you don't have class this week. You don't have class for 2 weeks. I mean, the first day of classes is 2 weeks from today. Now, you got to roll that back just a little bit because when move-in weekend occurs, they do give them a period of time to do that. So the next 10 days are going to be very important to determine who is within that top, 74? Because you can travel 74 guys. Okay. Now, that's for Big Ten games. I think you can travel more for a non-conference. But who's in the top 74? And that's what you're looking to do here. Who are going to grab roster spots 45 to 74? I think that's going to be determined over the next 10 days. So,
With the NCAA rules, they can't do two-a-days these 2 weeks, right?
No, you're not allowed to do two-a-days at all. So there have been no two-a-days. There haven't been two-a-days now for a couple of years.
It's so funny how that stuff works down. They're still doing two-a-days in high school.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it in the NFL, and you're not allowed to do it in college football. And now that also means, if you notice, training camp's a little bit longer now.
Yeah.
And I think in the NFL, I think the basic agreement says they can only have 8 days of tackling. You know, outside of preseason games. I think that's the rule. Now, college isn't like that, but you don't want to do too much tackling anyway. I mean, you know, what's the sense of beating up your own team?
Well, let's put it this way. High schools did 2 days last week, but it wasn't full pads.
Right, okay.
Now my train of thought derailed there for a second.
It's okay. You're allowed to have a derailment.
I was going to say, I think the two-a-days and all that kind of stuff, and I think I've said this before, is kind of a function. You know, people used to get out of shape in the off-season, and nobody really gets out of shape in the off-season anymore.
No, that's rare. That's rare. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody else say, yo. I mean, once in a great while, they'll say, yo, what were you doing? But see, they're here the entire time now. So they're now being monitored on staying in shape on an everyday basis. And they can tell right away if somebody's sliding because they'll run a drill And you'll sit there and go, okay, that's a little bit, that's not quite your best the last couple of days. You know, they can tell things like that. So, but yeah.
And the other part of that is there more institutional knowledge of nutrition? Like,
oh, goodness gracious.
I mean,
yes.
I can't imagine, you know, I think kids eat a little better today than they did before, did even 15 years ago.
Well, once they get here, they put you on the kind of regimen where they want you to make smart decisions. And I've talked with the nutritionist here at Penn State, and they say one of the gratifying moments for them is when they're in the nutrition bar and whomever it is walks up and then goes A, B, C, and D, and all four are the right choices. When they're doing it on their own, she says, I know they're on the right track. And, you know, they can see them make those choices. Then there are other guys that make choices. You're like, going, what are you doing? let's think this out here for a second. That's not what we talked about. But you're right. The nutrition part is really important. And these guys make better decisions now than ever before on the nutrition part of it. And they know they have to. Look, nutrition is your fuel. It's part of your training. That's why it always bothered me. Now, this is a rule that changed a few years ago, but it always bothered me that walk-ons couldn't get training table. Hated that. Right? Then they changed it. Okay. So they changed it where walk-ons could get it. And I thought this was one of the best moves they ever made, because the walk-on has a locker with all the other guys. The walk-on has to be at the 5 a.m. workout. The walkout has to be for the 7:30 a.m. lift. The walk-on has to be in the meeting. The walk-on has to be on time for practice like everybody else. You're telling me the walk-on can't eat? That was one of the dumbest rules. I mean, really one of the in an organization like the NCAA, which leads the world in dumb rules, that was one of the dumbest rules I ever heard of. They finally changed it. Like, oh, well, thank goodness.
Which might be just as surprising as it was the rule.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I mean, like I said, an organization that leads the world in dumb rules, that was one of the dumber ones.
Well, I think we found out in the last 2 weeks that the IOC is pretty close, too.
Oh, the IOC is just FIBA, the IOC. Hey, you want to talk about leading the world in corruption? Oh, that group's brutal.
Stay away from groups that are acronymed, I think, is the lesson.
Exactly. And I have no idea whether Jordan Chiles should keep her bronze or not. I don't know. It sounds like that what that the appeal was filed with 13 seconds to spare.
Well, I was reading yesterday that everybody else gets 4 minutes to protest, but since she was last, that's why she only got a minute, since she was the last person to go.
Again, the ability to lead the world in dumb.
That's...
I mean, really. You just sit back and go, who sits down and comes up with this stuff? Okay? What, do all of you need to get to the airport? You have a plane flight? Or can you wait the 3 minutes?
They needed to get the anthems played, man.
That's if they play the right one. That too.